Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Cut Jib Newsletter Worldwide podcasterating system. I'm coming to you from, believe it or not, sunny, but the sun is setting right now in London. I'm here for a few days, enjoying the sights. Unfortunately, on the way back to the hotel to do my podcast, I could not find a pub. I was in a neighborhood that didn't have any. So I am extremely pissy because I did not get my cask ale. Anyway, I'm also here, thankfully, with my partner and in co-blogging and other things, JJ Sefton, who is in very snowy southern Wisconsin. How are you doing, Sefton?
It is snowy and the snow is on the ground and it is really cold and we're getting set for a really heavy duty cold snap coming in. And then after that, supposedly the forecast is saying an unusual, a little bit of a warming trend. So that'll be welcome to melt whatever the ice is left and then turn it back into a sheet of ice so that we could all slip slide away on the streets here. But anyway, we're muddling through here in Wisconsin and I'm sorry we all missed you last week and hope you had a wonderful and a blessed Thanksgiving to you all. But here we are and lots of stuff happening over the last couple of weeks. And a lot of it is sort of the residue of the same old shit, but a lot of it is new shit, which is really quite troubling on many fronts.
Is it new shit, or is it simply the Democrat apparatus fighting and fighting and fighting against absolutely everything that Donald Trump wants to do, and fighting against the restoration of Western philosophy and Western culture? I think it's all part and parcel of the same desire to tear down the West and rebuild it in the image of Karl Marx. And
That exactly. The
yeah.
twin-headed beast of Karl Marx and Muhammad, but there you have it.
Yeah. So, speaking of tearing down the West, so the stuff about the narco boats getting blasted by U.S. Navy assets in the Caribbean, I think, has been an interesting glimpse into both Trump derangement syndrome and the desire to destroy the West. The idea that narco terrorists, and I think that's a fair estimation of what they are. They really are terrorists because they're trying to destroy America. But destroying the boats that they are using to bring deadly drugs into America, it should be unexceptional. Why it hasn't been happening for a very, very long time is beyond me. It should have been happening for a very long time. I think we should be doing this. I think we should have drones patrolling our southern border and perhaps our northern border, destroying those who can be identified, obviously, as drug runners. There's nothing wrong with that. They're trying to destroy America. They are trying to kill Americans, and we should kill them first. And the idea that that Hegseth's order was overly broad and is in fact a war crime is absolutely ridiculous. The idea that these people are afforded Geneva Convention protections is a joke. In fact, the Geneva Convention speaks rather simply about those who would attack us not in uniform. And there is something called a battlefield execution, and the Geneva Convention allows it in those cases. These narco-terrorists driving drug boats are nothing. I mean, they're exactly the same thing. So I have no problem with it. I'm sure that Sefton doesn't either, but I'm sure he has a perspective.
I have no problem with it either. Absolutely. And should, I mean, if we, whoever it was, maybe it was President Reagan or whoever had declared the so-called war on drugs, well, here, this is literal war on drugs right here, my friends. And let it be so. And of course, the latest meme and lie is that, as you state, the CBD, the war crimes committed by Pete Hegseth or Donald Trump, and supposedly Navy personnel are firing on, like once the boats are blown up, firing on survivors in the water. This has been provably proven to be an absolute and outright blood libel and a lie. And frankly, if you're killing them in the water, let me tell you something, sharks got to eat, same as frickin' worms, but that's another story. Meanwhile, everyone pisses and moans about the drug, youths overdosing on drugs and fentanyl and, crack and everything else. Meanwhile, here's the source. Let's get rid of it right at the source and cut it off. Cut off the head of the frickin' snake. But of course, we can't do that because Donald Trump is doing it. Now, if Barack Obama were to do this, Of course that he would of course get a pass. Now, there is something to be said for, is there a protocol constitutionally or whatever to do this? Does the president and does the Secretary of War, how I love that, have to go through Congress to do this, or can they just take it upon themselves to order our military assets to interdict these kind of terrorists ahead of time? And I say, yes, they are non-uniformed, in a sense, combatants and terrorists, and they can be taken out any way, shape, and form. You can do it. You don't have to declare war on them. They're not a, unless, of course, it can be proven that Maduro or whoever is behind the drug boats, then, of course, it is an official act of war. And I would have to say that Xi Jinping and the Chi-coms are funneling and fueling a lot of the fentanyl that comes into this country. So do we want to declare war on the Chinese Communist Party? That's a whole other story.
Well, they've declared war on us, so maybe we should
Yeah.
return the favor.
Well, there you
Venezuela
go.
is an interest. Venezuela is a very interesting country. They are there's a huge amount of data that show that they were involved in the voting irregularities in the United States, pushed, of course, by the Chinese and perhaps the Russians and who the hell knows? Maybe Saudi Arabia. I don't know.
Probably Iran, because Iran is very has very close ties with Venezuela.
Yes. But also, the larger picture, let's go back a couple of hundred years to the Monroe Doctrine. And that is, it's a simple doctrine, and that is stay the fuck out of our hemisphere. And I find that unexceptional. It's perfectly okay with me. I like the Monroe Doctrine. This is our backyard. And if Venezuela is bringing international terrorism to our shores or to our hemisphere, then I think we need to push back and push back hard. And excuse me. And if the narco terrorists are part and parcel of that, then well, they deserve to die. It doesn't bother me at all. Oh, and as you mentioned, the idea that that there's something wrong with completing the task of killing them, even if they fall into the water, I don't care. It simply doesn't bother me at all.
Yep, don't bother me in the least. Absolutely, and if it's a war, then so be it. This is if metaphorically or and it's terror. It's the prevention of terrorism. If and the Democrats are and leftists are always fond of saying if it saves just one life, then it's worth it. Well, if getting rid of these scum on the high seas saves just one kid wherever they may be, whether they're in the inner city for the most part or in suburban America from dying of an overdose, then it's totally worth it.
Yes. I mean, why are we discussing this? This is
Well,
it is so
because
obvious to me. This is the kind of stuff that the left is so good at. They drive the conversation into places where it simply does not need to go. The idea that the United States Armed Forces is protecting our shores from these demons bringing in terrible, terrible drugs. Why are we talking about it? We should
well,
be, as you say, we should be praising Donald Trump, and we should be pointing and laughing at the Democrats who are in fact trying to defend narco-terrorism. It's insanity.
these are the, I mean, look at what the left defends. They defend terrorists, they defend illegal alien rapists and criminals, they defend every sort of thug, they defend the, in a way, this Luigi Mangione creep. There's like the cougars from Mangione. There's all the guy who literally gunned down an unarmed man in the street because he was a healthcare executive. I mean, murderers, thugs, rapists, all you name it. These are the people that they defend, and it's just, I mean, it's unbelievable. And you'll get someone like Daniel Penny, who when some maniac was running wild in a subway train, he was sprang into action and. For better or for worse, the maniac, while he was in being subdued in a chokehold, he died. But that's too bad because he was threatening passengers. Would they have been satisfied at the left if the maniac, a Michael Jackson impersonator, brandished a knife and stabbed somebody, or did whatever, or had a gun and shot someone? Then it would then all bets are off. Then, of course, we have to bemoan the fact that white society created the broken home that he came from, and of course, we can blame America is founded for him doing that, and which is what they're doing now with the National Guard shooter. They're blaming America. It's like it's sick. He was in a National Guard uniform, and when people see a military uniform in the streets, this is a natural reaction. I mean, are you insane? Whoever that was, who was that? Ken Delanian or whoever the hell that asshole is that said that? I mean, it's insane, insane.
I didn't really want to talk about the National Guard shooting because it's so obviously a problem that can be remedied by a more aggressive stance against immigration and against the current crop of illegal and legal immigrants that have been brought in by the Biden administration.
Bingo.
But let's talk about that. I think that Donald Trump's unabashed patriotism when he talks about we don't want them because we care more about America than we should about Afghanistan and Somalia and the various failed states around the world whose scum we apparently are obligated to absorb in this country. I'm not 100% sure that his rhetoric is perfect, but it doesn't bother me that much. It doesn't bother me at all, in fact. He and Rubio are being honest in their estimation of what is going on around the world, and I like that very, very much. They are plain speak. I mean, they're not Truman, they're not machine politicians, but they are plain speaking,
I
and
mean, they could have
that's pleasing.
probably, you're right, they could have been more, or he could have been more art, said it in a more artful way that didn't sound, I mean, it, not that it did to my mind, or I'm saying some other people might view it as perhaps xenophobic as in what he said. But look, he is what he is. He's plain spoken. The problem why these countries are horrible is, because of their societies. And what are their societies? If they're not Islamic, they're crazy Marxist socialist kleptocracies. And this is what they breed over the course of generations. And they come here not to assimilate. They come here to either conquer us or just to continue the way they did before, unmolested by the secret police, and basically have free pickings at us at our expense. And he's right.
He
Look,
is right.
I'll tell you a story. My mother of blessed memory, who survived a year and a half under Hitler, the hoops that she had to go through to get to this country, to prove that she was not a communist, that she was not an indigent, and that she wouldn't be a burden on society and not a carrier of disease. And she had to wait at least 3 or 4 years till she in a displaced persons camp until she finally got here. And let me tell you something, when she got here, she kissed the ground and she embraced America and became an American to the bone. I mean, a funny story, if I may. When she and my father were off in Europe on a vacation once, she was haggling with a woman over the price of a t-shirt or something as a souvenir. And this woman looked at my mother and said, "Yankee, go home," which I thought was brilliant. And so people like my mother, God bless her, in these day and age are few and far between. And unless we have a way of vetting people who come here, and I mean really vetting them, that they will come here to become American and not to destroy our country and our way of life. I mean, forget it. We got to close the gates and shut the doors and lock them shut.
Agreed. And what puzzles me is the change in the perspective about America. It used to be, the shining city. People wanted to come here so badly they were willing to die to come here. And now it's simply it's a payday. And they have no desire to become American. They simply have a desire to reap the benefits of our 250 years of progress and prosperity,
You
while, as
said
you say,
it,
while
and
bringing.
that's what Donald Trump was trying to say, and in a way he did say that. He may have done it kind of crudely, but he said it. He put it right out there. God bless him.
I want to talk a little bit about Donald Trump's ability and inability to communicate with the American people. I think that what he is doing with the economy is interesting. I think it's probably going to work. I think that there are interesting signs, positive signs that the economy is recovering from the almost hyperinflation that we had under Biden. But he is fixated on both the previous administration's slights against him and our foreign policy, and he is not communicating what he is doing for our domestic economy nearly as well as I think he should. I think it should be a focus. I think it should be a priority for his communication. I think that his mouthpieces should be banging that drum every single day, that this is what we are doing for the American people. This is what we are doing for the American worker. This is what we are doing for America. And let's not talk quite as much about the narco-terrorists and his, the big deals that he's making in the Middle East and in the Far East and so on. They're great. They're wonderful. And it's fantastic. But the American people need to hear what he is doing for them. And I don't think he's doing a very good job of it right now.
I would agree. And again, as it all boils down to it, what Billy Jeff said, it's the economy, stupid. And I agree. There are signs that, we are poised for a pretty sizable bump, if not a boom, to kick off to end the year and to kick off a crucial midterm election season. And you are right. He has to bang this drum home constantly for the next 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 months until and to secure, the majority, because it's his legacy now, and it's America. If God forbid the Democrats take over, this is not a good thing. His last 2 years are going to be completely neutralized, and then of course going into the crucial 2028 national elections to see who his successor may be. God forbid it's Newsom, or God forbid it's whoever. It's this is it. It's ball game, folks. It's ball game, Mr. President. It's in your court, Mr. Besant and all others. So do
Yeah.
your best.
Well, we shall see. I think 2026 is going to be very, very interesting. Traditionally, the ruling party gets thumped. That's the way that America has been doing it for a very long, long time. Not always, but that's what I expect. I think that if two things happen, that is, if Donald Trump begins to communicate his policies effectively, and they begin to work more obviously, we have a chance at holding or perhaps even expanding our hold on Congress. I don't know.
Yeah, there are Democrat
Yeah.
seats that are vulnerable. So, I mean, we shall see. It should be, and immigration and crime are big things, and they do have an impact on the economy and obviously on the quality of life too. So, keep it coming, and hopefully we'll see, the inflation and job numbers and all these other things really, really begin to go in the right direction and give us the push over the finish line that we need, and secure our firewalls against the communists and the Maoists for at least 2, if not 4 more years.
They really are. They used to be Stalinists, but they've moved more toward Mao. Isn't that
It
amazing?
is incredible. They are really, these people are just, I mean, the one we had a race where Mark Epps thankfully won the Tennessee 7th District, a special election against this woman, this Afton Ben, and she is literally, a transgender and transgender terrorism booster. She is
Yeah.
out of her mind, and if she is what the Democrat Party is going to run, they're going to be running Mamdani's left, right, and center, and people like this. Hopefully, I mean, we have our friend over at the Heartland Institute, Jim Lakely, giving us all these horrible polling things and the direction of the country, and yet somehow we're you just got to shake your head and wonder what in the hell is going on. Where is
Yeah.
the country going?
The problem is that many voters in America don't give a shit except for every 4 years. And that's a big problem in the United States because as we have been shown rather painfully, the lower, low on the ticket is just as important as high on the ticket.
Absolutely. It goes all the way down to freaking dog catcher and school board, especially. We got to
School
win those
board. My
seats.
God, that's important. Yeah.
We
Anyway,
gotta win it, baby.
yeah. So I see that that Donald Trump has pardoned or wants to pardon. Oh God, what is his name? I just saw it on my news flash. Henry Cuellar. I don't know how to
Cuellar.
pronounce Cuellar.
Henry Cuellar.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he because Biden went after him because he spoke out against open borders, and
Yes, he was. Yeah, Tex. He's a Texas Democrat
yeah.
who he jumped ship because to try to preserve his own skin, he left the ranch, and of course you will be punished for that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't think he'll get any credit for it from the Democrats because the Democrats, as you have just pointed out, are becoming Maoists.
Right, and Trump, if you recall, wanted to pardon, or he did, or tried to, sort of take the gloves off of Eric Adams in New York, and of course, here we are.
Yeah. My guess, though, is Adams was guilty of what
Oh,
he's
sure.
accused of. I mean, it's New York. These guys are as crooked as the day is long. It's unbelievable. So,
Without a doubt. I mean, there's so much fraud and thievery and abuse. Letitia James and so many other Democrats with this mortgage, who are just defrauding their banks with all this mortgage fraud going. There's at least three or four prominent Democrat polls who are involved in some kind of shenanigans like that, to say the least, of just whatever other criminality and graft they're involved in.
yeah, and their pet judges are busily letting them off, which just amazes me.
Of course.
Yeah.
What a
Oh
world.
boy. What else is going on?
What else? That's pretty much, I think we've kind of covered all most of the bases, and we've got we have a country that is in one sense is coming apart at the seams, and in other senses is trying to somehow whole keep it held together. And it is really almost a house divided against itself in some respects.
It is, and it's depressing. I find that I have fewer and fewer left-wing friends with whom I can have civil conversations. The last one I had was a couple of weeks ago. I hadn't seen him in a couple of years, and we were having lunch together, and he said, "Boy, I'm disappointed that Trump won, but they didn't give me very much to vote for. They didn't give me very much to be excited about." And that was an honest estimation of the Democrat Party, and I was quite appreciative of it, and I was impressed. I liked hearing that. So
Yeah,
maybe
I
there is
mean,
hope.
there is. I mean, and every now and again, you have people like, whatever you think of him, like James Carville or other Democrat pundits, going on about how, they see someone like a Mamdani and a crazy socialist, and they say we can't run on this, and yet they are running on it, and in some instances, they're actually winning, and that's pretty damn frightening.
Yeah,
So that's why I'm thankful.
Mamdani is going to be very interesting. As I've said before, and I'll say it, I'll keep saying it for the next 4 years. His grandiose plans for free everything probably aren't going to work out because too much of the budget is controlled by the state. Taxation is controlled by the state. There isn't very much he can do with that. But the tone of the police force and the tone of the city administration is going to change radically, and it's going to change for the worse. It's going to favor
Yep.
Islam. It's going to favor Sharia law. It's going to be actively hostile toward Jews and secondarily toward Christians. And that's going to be a big problem in New York. And New York is going to fail rapidly because of it. And
Yep,
I
and
don't see a way out for that. It's
no,
gotten
and
bad.
Hochul is a very, she's got to mind her P's and Q's to save her bacon, so to speak. She doesn't want to nest. I mean, obviously, she sees she and Mamdani are not exactly eye to eye, and she's not going to be there to bail New York out, to when it fails, and just feed them endless amounts of state money, and because she also doesn't want to alienate the saner, for what's left of them, quarters of the Democrat base, and so that's her thing.
Yeah, so
It's,
Stefanik is going to run against her next year, I hear,
yes.
which is interesting. She's an accomplished woman. She's reasonably articulate. I've heard her speak only a couple of times, so I might be wrong. But she presents, first of all, she's a woman, which helps.
Yes.
Secondly, she presents a rational option to the insanity of Mamdani and the and Hochul strikes me as just such a vile and unattractive and unappealing and unfriendly woman that I
Yeah,
can't see
and
her.
she's tied at the hip with Cuomo, and
Yeah.
there you go. So with all the coronavirus garbage that went on, and the deaths and all of that stuff, so I think her days are kind of numbered in that regard. Whether Stefanik can beat the cheat machine in Albany and New York City, that's a whole other story. And
It's going to be
unfortunately,
tough.
Stefanik, yeah, and Stefanik is kind of, and we love Donald Trump, and but she's seen as a Trump, as part of his inner circle in a way, and as a Trump, a MAGA member, and of course New Yorkers or the left in New York do not cotton to that. So unfortunately, but there you have it.
Yeah, I wonder how much voting the Republican Party is going to do in 2026 in the governor's race. Zeldin lost and Trump was on the ticket, right?
I
No.
believe so, but Zeldin
Yes.
losing to me
No, he
is
wasn't. I'm sorry. No, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. That's incorrect.
Zeldin losing, that was that race stank to high heaven. There was a lot of
Yeah.
shenanigans going on.
Well,
But
maybe Stefanik can pull it out. I don't know. I mean, listen, it's only December. We've got almost a
yes.
year. So, yeah,
Well,
who the
it's
hell
a
knows
year
what's
is
going
an
to
eternity,
happen?
is both, as we say, an eternity and a blink of an eye in
Yeah,
politics.
that's true. That's true. Anyway, we're gonna call this one. Folks, thank you very much for listening. Thank you much very much for hitting the tip jar and commenting and mixing it up with us. And it is much appreciated. It keeps the lights on. Bandwidth is not free, unfortunately. So keep it up. Thank you very much. And Sefton, take it away.
Yes, for CBD, it's JJ Sefton here on the Cut Jib Newsletter International Silver String Submarine Worldwide Podcasting Network. And God bless you all, as CBD said, for supporting us. It truly is appreciated more than you can know. And we will see you again on the next one real soon. And God bless you all. Adios.
Thanks for listening, folks.